Good morning, everyone. We're about to bring you the latest COVID-19 UAE updates. However, if you found this podcast through an article, which so many of you are doing, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts so you can get your Dubai news daily.
Hello guys, good morning and welcome to the Love in Dubai show. You're watching it with me, Simran, and Casey is on a break until 29th of August, and then we get to see her beautiful face back on the show with me. And Love in Dubai show is where we give you the lowdown on all things Dubai, all the tea, the gossip, everything that's happening around, what people are talking about. And today's show, we've got a pretty sweet lineup of stories. So we'll be talking about a British student who documented his dramatic evacuation from Kabul and has safely landed in Dubai now. Bilqis is the first celeb to get her wax figure in Dubai, and Abu Dhabi removes 6 countries from the green list, including USA and Israel. And after that, very exciting, we have an interview lined up with Paul Van Dyk. I was fangirling the whole time, and his concert is all set to take place this Thursday. So those who are going to watch, we have some really nice news. Like, you can now stand at concerts, and his is going to be the first one that you can stand at. So we'll be getting into that later as well. But before we start today's show, letting you guys know that the sponsor for today's show is Dubai Summer Surprises, back to you with offers for the weekend. And although they are the sponsors for today's show, the opinion and statements are Love in Dubai's. Now, this morning, a bit of a, you know, like in the elevator, I was just like, what is going on? Because we, like, the elevator gets pretty crowded very fast. And there was on the ground floor, like there's the basement 1, 2, 3, and then there's the ground floor. And then ground floor, a lot of people just got in, and there was one person, like there were two people, like they pressed the first floor and the second floor, and like there was a bunch of other floors as well. But oh my god, like, do you guys have that in your office or apartments where like someone works or stays, resides on the first or second floor, and knowing there's such a massive queue for the elevator, they'll still get in instead of using the stairs? Like, I don't want to be salty early in the morning, but yeah, I was like, I mean, just use the staircase, you know what I mean? But we have a very small glitch. Ali, I just want to like put it on the iPad. Small technical issue before we get started with today's show. So as soon as that is sorted, we can go live. We can tell you guys the stories. It's live, right? Okay, cool. So you know what? I'm just gonna like tell you guys from here. No big deal. Now, starting with our very first story, a British student who documented his dramatic evacuation from Kabul has landed safely in Dubai. Now, this British student has become an overnight internet sensation and the talk of the town. Because he documented his entire trip. He got stuck in Kabul on August 13th. He went there for a trip, saying like he's never been there before, and he went there to check the place out, and things went south pretty fast, like we all know. And his name is Miles Rutledge, and he's a university student, 21 year old, and he was streaming his entire experience on 4chan, Facebook, and Twitch. And he started off having a really good time, but then soon it turned into scenes from the green zone. It became pretty dramatic. And before things went south, Miles was doting over the South Asian country, over Afghanistan. He said that it even seems more peaceful than London to him. And he posted pictures of himself posing with weapons in the desert terrain. However, once the militant group took over the capital, Miles was forced to hide in a United Nations safe house in Kabul, along with foreigners, including Britons, Americans, Indians, Turks, and all of them who were awaiting evacuation from the country. And the 21-year-old described being stuck in Afghanistan as a bit of a pickle, and even added that he had to cover himself in a burqa so that the militants wouldn't recognize him as being a white guy. So he had to be in disguise the whole time. And apart from the, like, so it is a, I don't know, like, quite an interesting story. And people have a lot of opinions around it, saying like he's privileged, that he's making light of the entire situation. He's not taking it seriously. But really, you don't really know what's going on. You don't know what's going on in his mind, how he keeps calm, if this is his way of keeping calm. And obviously, we are no one to judge, and we are not here to judge him. We are just here to tell, like, what the internet is talking about. But he did take to Facebook to post that he is so happy that everyone is like applauding the fact that he got out safe, that he was rescued, and all of that. But he is very much concerned about the locals in Afghanistan, the Afghanis, and he is asking people to go online and donate as much as they can or as little as they can, because every donation makes a difference. And the people over there are very much in, it's a very worrisome situation in Afghanistan, and people are in panic. So even though we are, you know, like, there might be a few stories that go viral, that we go like, okay, it's not that bad. And like recently a footage came out of Afghanistanis, like not Afghanistan, Taliban, just taking over gymnasiums, taking over the amusement parks, and just, you know, looking like they're having a good time. And we go like, oh, the situation is not as bad. But honestly, it's a very worrisome situation. Children, as women and children as little as 12 years old, are being forced into marriage, and it's just become a big humanitarian crisis. And we are hoping the UN does intervene, and we'll see. Like, the Taliban has given the green signal for addressing the media and giving public statements. So we'll see how the things progress. But obviously, like, I mean, you as humans, as you know, like, just empathetic and sympathetic humans, you would hope there is some, like, you know, like, strategies put in place to deal with this and ensure that there is no violence, ensure there is no bloodshed and all of that. But moving on to our next story, this is quite exciting. Now, Balqis is the first celeb to get her wax figure here in Dubai. Now, we've known for quite a while that Madame Tussauds is coming to Dubai, and of course, we just cannot wait for its grand opening, and it's all set to open in Blue Waters, Dubai. So a grand location, the Ferris wheel is there as well, Caesar's Palace, so many things to check out in Blue Waters, and now the wax figure is just going to be one of the additions. And the iconic wax museum posted a silhouette of a celebrity. And they were teasing it, saying like, it's a Middle Eastern celebrity, she's pretty big. And we were like, just the whole time we were guessing, like, okay, who could it be? Who is it? We literally had no idea. We guessed a bunch of names, but we knew it was a singer. Like, that's all we knew. It was an Emirati singer, but we just couldn't, like, you know, okay, which one? Like, we didn't know if it was the gender, anything. But now the reveal, the big reveal was made. And of course, you all know it's Balqis Fathi, and she's one of the biggest Emirati singing sensations there is, and it's so exciting to have her being revealed as one of the first wax museums at the Madame Tussauds wax figure museum over there. And the star was in awe when she saw her twin wax figure. Now, if you can see the footage beside us, she's like taking a look at her twin, and it's really cute. Like, you really can't tell the difference if you didn't see her walking around. Like, in the still pictures, when we saw it yesterday, we're just like, you really couldn't tell the difference. It's so lifelike. It's insane. So, so lifelike. They've done such an impressive job with the wax figure. Oh my God. Let me know, like, in the comments, if there was one person you would want to see in the wax figure, I mean, in the wax museum, who would that be? Which celebrity would that be? From your country, hopefully, like, you know, that's what I want to know. Like, which celebrity from your country do you want to see in the museum? And who? Who? Laffy. You want to see Laffy in the wax museum?
Yeah.
Oh, Laffy. He works in Love in Saudi, our sister brand, and he is a star down there. He is a massive star. He's crushing social media, right? Who's crushing social media? His fan base? Massive. So shout out to Laffy. Ali wants your wax figure here in the Madame Tussauds wax museum. Oh my God, the amount of times I've said museum during this segment, like, anyway. So the star, like, okay, so Balqis was like really impressed by her wax figure, so she took to social media and she posted about it, and she even in her caption she wrote Words cannot describe how honored and happy I am for the inauguration of my wax figure at Madame Tussauds Dubai Museum. Thank you to our honorable committee and the government of my dear UAE for the unlimited support, and to the public at the Madame Tussauds Museum for the excellent work. So she wrote this in Arabic. This is translated to English. And we cannot wait for more reveals to be made for us to see what else the museum has in store for us. And moving on to our next story, Abu Dhabi has removed 6 countries from the green list, including USA and Israel. Now, the travel regulations are pretty complicated. So if you guys want a proper breakdown of this, do head to our website where we have an article out and kind of breaks it down for you point to point. Or you can always visit the Etihad Airlines website, Emirates website, and all of that for your travel regulations, travel updates. So basically what's happened is Abu Dhabi has removed the following 6 countries from the green list starting from today, Wednesday, August 18th. Armenia, Austria, Israel, Italy, Maldives, and the USA. And this means passengers entering from the capital from the aforementioned countries will need to wear a tracker wristband. So for vaccinated travelers, they'll have to take a PCR test on arrival and quarantine for 7 days and then take a PCR on the 6th day. So these are travelers, vaccinated travelers coming from non-green list countries. Now, unvaccinated travelers coming from non-green list countries, they'll have to take a PCR test on arrival, quarantine for 10 days, and will have to take a PCR test again on the 9th day. Now, thus far, only vaccinated those who are vaccinated 28 days before the travel with results showing on the Al Hussein app will qualify as vaccinated passengers. But on the other hand, vaccinated passengers entering Abu Dhabi from green list countries will not be required to quarantine whatsoever. But non-vaccinated passengers arriving from a green list country will still need to quarantine for 10 days. So the major takeaway from this is, if you are vaccinated, traveling to Abu Dhabi will be made much, much easier for you. Your quarantine days will be will decrease. And yeah, so right now the requirement is of you having your vaccination status showing on the Al Hussein app. But Etihad did announce that starting from August 20th, vaccinations taken outside the UAE will also be permitted, including Sinopharm, Sinovac, Janssen, Pfizer, Sputnik V, Oxford AstraZeneca, and Moderna. So that's from August 20th. They will be accepting other vaccinations as well. But until then, it's only the UAE authorized vaccines. If you have that and it shows on the Al Hussein app, you'll be able to come back to the UAE. I mean, you'll be able to come back to Abu Dhabi. Dubai rules and Abu Dhabi rules are different. So make sure to check with your airlines and where you'll be, the city you'll be traveling to. You check all of that before you go ahead and start making your travel plans and start, you know, arranging those documents. But Abu Dhabi has a very good control over the way they handle COVID-19. I mean, of course, all of the UAE does. But Chai, who stays in Dubai. He was just telling me that in Abu Dhabi, if you do get tested positive for COVID-19, they are so, they really take good care of you. They send meals to you. So you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It gets sent to your home. So you don't have to worry about ordering anything. You don't have to worry about going out. You don't have to worry about getting groceries, cooking, any of that. If you're feeling really ill, you just stay in bed. The food gets delivered to you and you have an electronic tracking wristband. So just to ensure that, you know, you are at home, that you're safe, that you're within the vicinity and all of that. So it keeps you safe. It keeps your community safe and all of that. So like huge props to Abu Dhabi for all these rollouts that they do to ensure the safety of their residents and citizens. And I mean, of course, it just goes on to show just how great the UAE has taken control and handled COVID-19. And especially with cases dropping in the UAE, I mean, that just speaks for itself. But moving on, the Dubai Summer Surprises, we'll be talking about that right now. And it's huge. Everyone is absolutely repping summer in Dubai because of Dubai Summer Surprises. The amount of offers they have going on, activities, it's just a gala time for kids, adults, teenagers, like everyone. And if you follow us on Instagram, you'll keep, you know, a track of our adventures that we have with DSS like so frequently. And I think very soon, two more members of the Love and team will be checking out more thrilling offers that DSS has to offer. But before that video gets released, we will be talking about we'll be talking about Fenty Fun. And this weekend at the Fenty Canyon, where you can indulge in a one-of-a-kind beauty experience. Now, we all know that our bad gal Riri is all-inclusive when it comes to makeup. So you can go in and find perfect shades for your skin and get to experience a range of Fenty Beauty's offerings. Now, you can also leave with a gift. Now, you can go check out the camp, and then later when you make your purchases, when you check out, like, I don't know, get your samples, they give you a gift for you to go home with. And we all love gifts. We all love freebies. Like, don't lie if you say you don't. It's not a thing. Like, there's no one alive who doesn't like freebies. But moving on from freebies, this is taking place at Mall of the Emirates this weekend. If you want to go down and check it out, we're all going to be there. Free stuff, Fenty Beauty, Mall of the Emirates, like one of the best malls in Dubai, one of the best malls. I mean, I feel like all of them are really good. I don't think I have one that I really dislike. I've just had a good experience in all of them. I mean, clothes, shops, makeup, shoes. And from tomorrow until 21st of August, the Emirates Literature Foundation is collaborating with the Green Planet and holding an exciting three-day children's interactive edutainment. It's a new word, or is it not? Because I feel like I've just heard this word for the first time. Edutainment. Education and entertainment. It's a collaboration over there. And educating children between the ages of 3 to 10 on how to make the world a better place and have a more positive outlook for the future. So it's a great immersive experience for children. And if your kids are sitting at home and they're like, take us out, we want to do something fun, we want to do something different, if you're tired of the cinemas, if you're tired of, like, you know, just the ordinary beach trips and it's too hot, then this is really the place, the thing for you to check out this summer. And it's on until the 21st of August. So tomorrow till the 21st of August, small window, want to get in there, want to check it out ASAP. But that is the end of today's show, but not really. It's not really the end, because after the break, we sit down and talk with none other than Paul Van Dyk, who is, sorry, of course, like, you guys know who he is, like one of the biggest German DJs in the world. And a little announcement. Now, as per the DTCM guidelines for entertainment and sporting events, free movement, which means standing, is now permitted within your designated area. So the seats that you've purchased, you can stand in front of it and you can dance and do anything, like, in your designated area, the area that you've purchased, not area, that you've, the seats you've purchased. And but all of this whilst adhering to the COVID-19 guidelines, you still have to wear your masks on and, you know, like, keep a social distance. But exciting, because Paul Van Dyk's concert will be the first ever event at the Coca-Cola Arena under these guidelines. So big exciting news, and stay tuned to catch us in conversation with none other than Paul Van Dyk, who's all set to have his concert this Thursday.
Love and Extra is here. This is the new membership, and while absolutely nothing changes for our readers, Extra members get access to premium content, exclusive competitions, and first look for tickets and access to the coolest events across the city, and Love and merch. If you subscribe right now, a very cool Love and Red Eco Water bottle will be delivered to your door.
Next up, we have the Grammy Award nominee, the musician, producer, and the first true renowned DJs, Paul Van Dyk. So, guten Tag, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So how are you doing, and are you excited to be excited to come to Dubai?
I'm fine, and I'm definitely excited to come to Dubai. It's the first time I'm leaving Europe for quite a few months, so that's going
to
be good.
Are you returning to Dubai after a long time, or is it your it's not your first time, right?
No, it's not the first time. I played in Dubai many, many times, but obviously because of the pandemic, I wasn't able to travel really anywhere. So it's going to be, despite the fact that I'm really looking forward to kind of play a show in Dubai, it's also going to be the first time leaving Europe for a while.
Okay, so you've performed in Dubai before, so have you had any crazy fan experiences here?
Well, I wouldn't say crazy fan experiences, but I remember actually, like, making a skydive jump And that was quite something. And yeah, like, you know, a lot of amazing things.
Oh, so you went skydiving.
Yes, yes, yes. I was invited by the skydive to Dubai people to kind of like jump with them, and I was concerned, but it was awesome. It was really amazing.
Oh my God! So you went skydiving over the palm, and you got the whole view and everything.
Yes, it is phenomenal. It looks phenomenal.
Nice. And any favorite restaurants or hangout spots here in Dubai that you can remember?
And the thing is, I haven't really like spent time in regards to, you know, like being there hanging out, because the thing is, the shows are usually on a Thursday, so I'm always have to rush out to kind of, you know, be somewhere else for the weekend, and so there's never really much time to kind of that I did spend, but the little bit of time that I spend, I really enjoy.
Okay, so getting in deep now, so your career has spanned across decades and generations. So what's the one thing you've learned across all this time in the entertainment industry?
In order to not go completely crazy, you have to know why you do what you do. And if you're a musician, it should be the love for music, because everything else can come and go. But if you know, this is the music I love, this is the music I want to do, then it brings you through the good and the bad times.
Oh, that's amazing. So now if you had to give advice to your younger self or anyone entering the entertainment industry, is there something that you've learned along your way that you would want to pass down, words of wisdom or, I mean, like any kind of advice?
Well, you know, it's like in deeper terms, if you start out doing something with friends, it makes a lot of sense to take a little piece of paper. It doesn't have to be a contractual sort of thing, just a little piece of paper where you write down why you're doing and under what conditions. It might come handy at some point. I learned that myself. So that's a good one. And the other thing is, really, you should really think why you want to enter this, because it's like, if you look at the many, many musicians and artists in this world, there's maybe 0.001% that can actually live off it. And you really, really have to love what you do in order to go, you know, through all the things. Despite all the fun, it is also a lot of work. And that's what I mean. You need to know what's your love, what's your passion in it, and why are you doing it? If it's just about fame and money or something, then nothing is guaranteed. And it also comes and goes. It needs to be the love for the music.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really good advice. So always have that conversation with yourself that you can remember later, and that keeps you true to your craft.
Yeah, just as an example, imagine you make a piece of music that is really, let's say, on the edge. You don't really like it yourself. You just think it's going to be popular, and it's not becoming popular. Then you've done something you don't like. It didn't actually get you where you wanted, and it's just depressing. So at least, like, you know, if you make the music you really, really love and nobody wants to hear it, you can at least say, hey, well, I love it.
Oh, very true. So you said it's not about the fame and the fortune, but if you had to choose between the two, fame or fortune, which one would you choose? Like fame or money?
My way of living and my world doesn't function in these terms. It's more about love and being a decent person and being actually real to the world. And then, of course, you know, the passion for something. And if all that actually leads to become famous, fair enough, but that should not be the aim. And if it like manages to kind of like that, you earn an amount of money that allows you a certain freedom in life, that's good too. But none of that is guaranteed.
Oh, that's amazing. We stand that. Love that. Okay, so your career manifested during your radio days. So can you tell us a little bit more about how the two intertwined?
How what? I'm sorry, I did.
Your
what?
Career, it started during your radio days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us?
You mean me making the radio? Okay. Well, the thing is that obviously when I was a kid, I was always listening to the radio and doing my homeworks, you know, when I came back from school. So this is why radio became really important to me. And when I had the chance of actually starting my own radio show and playing the music I love so much to other people, that obviously was a chance I took, because you also have to understand, back in those days, the music wasn't on the radio. There wasn't only any electronic music on the radio. There was also no internet where you could just kind of like click on Spotify and listen to whatever you wanted to listen to. So we had to kind of, first of all, create the music we wanted to listen to. And then we also, you know, through radio shows, had to kind of like present the music we wanted to listen to. And so it obviously became a very important part of what I do and still is. And the Vonic Sessions radio show, as an example, is in 52 countries on the planet. And, you know, that's obviously a weekly audience that listens to my understanding of how electronic music should sound. And that's, on one hand, a great honor that people do so. On the other hand, it's a great responsibility to always kind of like choose music that has something to say.
Right. So next question, I just want to ask, so it was illegal Western music while you were growing up. So how did you and your friends go around that?
Well, I grew up in East Berlin. So obviously it's like I was able to illegally listen to the West Berlin radio stations. And back in those days, there were those tape recorders. So we taped the music and then we just played it back in the basement of some friend's house or something, and had our real house parties.
Oh, so that way you got into Western music and the whole vibe of it?
Yeah, that's the way. We just basically recorded the music that was played and made our own scenario out of it.
Loopholes 101.
Yep.
But is there any celebrity, not celebrity, any musician that you haven't yet collaborated with, but you aren't, like, you're looking forward to that collaboration if it ever does happen?
I don't really have like a bucket list of like people I want to work with or something. It's like, it's usually when I write a piece of music and I think, okay, that artist could collaborate in a way that it gives something extra to the track. Mm-hmm. And then it happens. And of course, working with like friends is always even more fun than with people you don't really know. And I mean, since my teenage days, I've been always a big fan of bands like Depeche Mode. So working with them obviously was a huge thing for me. At the same time, in this moment, you know, when you work on a piece of music, it doesn't become Depeche Mode versus Paul Van Dyk or something. It becomes just artists having an idea and bringing something together and creating a piece of music.
So any celebrity crushes?
No.
No. Or any memorable collabs thus far?
Collaborations with my dear friend Johnny are always special. You know, we've done Home and Time of Our Lives together. And what's like special about these collaborations is like he comes from a completely different music world. You know, he's part of Snow Patrol, so it's like, you know, his sounds are very different than mine, but we have the same feel in regards to what music should do. Music should always sort of come across and sort of like reaches to people, and so when we work together, it's always very interesting. It's always very challenging in a positive way.
So you guys are on the same page and that's what you like?
No, the things we're not on the same page. We're coming from completely different books.
Okay.
But we have the same understanding of what the reader should take from the book.
Okay. Got it. So now how would you describe the change in electronic music from the 90s, from the early 90s to now?
In the beginning, the DJ was the freak in the corner while everyone else had fun. And now there are big stages with big productions and people doing interviews with DJs. That wasn't really happening in the beginning of the 90s. As I said, there was no radio station playing on our music. There was no internet where you could just click and listen to it. We had to make what we wanted to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Also, that's one of the biggest drastic changes from the 90s to now that you would point your fingers at?
Well, yeah, I mean, and all the developments in between is like, you know, that you see with any sort of musical subgenre that, you know, starts kind of undergroundy, you know, maybe 100 people listening to it, and suddenly it's 100,000, and then there's like 10 millions. You have these curves in everyone's career and also in everyone's sort of like, let's say, artistical output.
So during COVID-19, like we saw a lot of DJs coming online and putting on performances, like remote performances from their homes, from their basements. So did you do, were you up to anything during the lockdown?
We did quite from the start early on something called the Sunday Sessions, which, you know, it's like whenever I'm in Berlin on Sundays, I still do. The special thing there is, you not just see myself, people via Zoom can actually lock themselves into the stream. So we can really interact with each other and people interact with each other. And that's also the important bit of the Sunday Sessions, because it gives a feel of togetherness. Nobody's just like left alone and being in some lockdowns. Like, you know, you feel there are other people experiencing the same things and you kind of interact with them. And that to me is like the far more important aspect than whatever kind of music I would play there. It's like really the interaction of everyone with each other. It's kind of a global community that developed through it.
So would you say, like, through COVID-19 you found a more wholesome way to connect with your fans, even though it's
no
virtual?
Not at all.
No, not at all. You would still consider
not at all. It's like nothing can beat the real life interaction between human beings in one room connected through music. Nothing can beat that.
Not even virtual.
No, but especially not virtual. I think it's like, you know, much more important to sort of feel the energy of a person rather than just seeing it on the screen.
Yeah, very true. So you are performing live for Dubai on Thursday at the Coca-Cola Arena. So is there anything you have, like anything we can look forward to, anything we can expect?
Well, first of all, I hope you look forward to the whole thing. It's like the fact that it's happening is obviously something that at least to me is very exciting. And I just heard the news that this is going to be the first event where people are actually allowed to dance. So that's going to be something that obviously I hope everyone is embracing to the fullest. And in regards to expectations, well, the thing is, I always have a clear idea about what I want to do, but it's always down to the interaction with the audience. And of course, you know, on social media, I saw people requesting me to play Fallen Angel and all these things. And I will, as like, you know, I have the feeling when people come to see me, they don't think the set is complete without me having played those tracks. So I will do that.
Which three tracks are the most requested for, would you say?
I think it's like probably Fallen Angel, Time of Our Lives, Home, well, Music Rescues Me, Nothing But You. So these are the ones that they in a constant sort of
request
spiral. But it's also, you know, as I said, I had the chance of actually making quite a lot of music as well throughout the last months. And you're going to be able to hear some new stuff from the next album too.
Yes, that's what I was asking through the question. Like basically what I want to ask was like any new tracks that people will be looking forward to. But yeah, like you said, there will be some new tracks dropping. So that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Paul van Dyk. It was great speaking to you. Danke.
Bitte schön und danke auch und dann bis Donnerstag.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Guys, that is a wrap for The Lovin' Daily. We are back same time, same place every weekday morning. And of course, don't miss The Lovin' Show every Tuesday where I chat with Dubai personalities. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and have a great day.